Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, a show for marketers by marketers to talk shop and share insights on the ever-changing landscape of the digital world. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. In every episode, we aim to help marketers maximize their potential by getting real with industry experts across multiple industries and disciplines. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy, we talk through it all and leave you with actionable tips to help you in the day-to-day of marketing. Now, my guest today is Chris Orzechowski. He is the founder of Orze Media, which is a boutique e-commerce email marketing automation agency. He has written two best-selling books on email marketing and also has a popular print newsletter called Make It Rain Monthly, which is read by over 300 subscribers in over 30 countries around the world. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for my guest today, Chris Orzechowski. Chris, welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. I am super excited to have you on here to talk about email marketing.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm pumped too.
Yes. And you know, the title that I selected for this is The State of Email Marketing, Is It Dead or Very Much Alive? Because I think that oftentimes people think, oh, who emails? And it never ceases to surprise me the amount of leads that you can get, the traction, the connection, the engagement, all of the stuff that you can get from emails. Before we do dive into that, let's share a little bit about who you are and just kind of your area of expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run an email marketing agency called Orze Media, and we typically work with a lot of e-commerce brands, although we do have some digital product brands, and every now and then we'll throw a SaaS brand in there. But our superpower is kind of helping people with email marketing automation. What we like doing is setting people up with kind of like automated, behaviorally driven email marketing funnels, and you know, essentially this machine that we built for someone that just cranks out sales that they don't have to lift a finger for, right? So we set up automations one time, and we have clients who worked with years ago, they're still using the same automations, and they're still making money day after day, week after week, month after month from those things. So we just love building assets for people. And what we specialize in is more text-based, more copy-heavy emails that tell your brand story in your brand voice, that make your email stand out in the inbox, that make people actually look forward to wanting to see your emails. Because that's one of the things with some brands, it's like every time they send out an email, it's like, oh, I know what's in here. It's another coupon or another sale or another whatever. And you know, that's fine. But eventually people start to tune your stuff out. So we just find creative and fun ways to keep people engaged with email and to keep the sales rolling in.
So now let's dive into it. What is the state of email marketing? Is it something that is very much alive? Is it dying down? Obviously, you're not going to say dying down. This is like the backbone of your business. But I'd love to hear from your perspective because you're on different podcasts, you're on different shows. You also lead classes as well, too. But like, what do you tell people that come to you and ask you that?
I just say, email's dead. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. And
Peace out.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's very much alive. And I think it's just been getting more and more important. And I think people started really realizing this last year because like within, you know, especially in e-commerce, or really all digital business, it's like you have revenue or you have, you know, the list that you own, the list that you rent, right? The list that you rent is the one you keep on having to pay for over and over. And that's Facebook's list of customers or Instagram's list or Google's list or YouTube's list or TikTok's list, right? You don't own those customers. You don't own those followings, right? You have to pay them every single time you want to market to them.
Yeah.
But when you have your own list, you own that list. Maybe you had to pay an acquisition cost a long time ago to get them to buy or to get them there. But that's a list you own. You can market to them as many times as you want. And with everything that's been going on, the iOS updates and just, you know, platform instability and these platforms getting shut down or shutting down ad accounts randomly and costs going through the roof. I mean, there's a lot of people who just can't even afford to advertise, right? Maybe their ads are still working, but the costs have creeped up so much that it's just becoming harder and harder to win. So I think emails become more important because there's so much more margin to be made from those sales. And if you know how to nurture your list the right way and keep them people coming back for more, it's like printing money. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk about the acquisition cost because I'm also a big believer in owning your list in general. And I think when it comes to marketing and ad spend and all of that stuff, we're all very focused on the sale. We obviously want to get the sale. We're in this for business. But do you find that when brands come to you that there's a lot of education that has to happen on your end in telling them the value of like what that email list is?
Sometimes, yeah, it definitely does happen that way, because sometimes brands will have like maybe basic automation set up, but they're not doing too well. And then we'll be like, hey, you want to see a magic trick? And then we'll add like one simple flow and they'll be like, oh my gosh, there's an extra like $4,000 a month coming in.
Yeah.
Which is nice, right? Or $10,000 a month or whatever it is. And sometimes there might be scenarios where brands, they just don't email their list at all. And they have 80,000 people. And it's like, hey, you want to see another magic trick? And we send an email out. And it's like, wow, you just made 12 grand in sales. Like, should we do it again? You know? So, it depends though. Some brands are super savvy. Some brands know, how to have that conversation. And then they just need more of just someone managing it or someone kind of just owning it, right?
Yeah.
But usually with every single brand that we've ever worked with, we've been able to find things that they can improve upon, because it's this never-ending journey. Like, you can always convert a little bit better. You can always change up your frequency, change up your style, change up the copy you're using, the stories you're using, all those kind of things. So, but that's the thing. Like, that's the cool thing about email, is there's just so much opportunity. And it really is a deep, deep medium. Like, if you think about a list, like, let's talk about an e-commerce brand with a list of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
They're not all same kind of people, right? Within that list, there's maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 different segments. And I'm not even just talking about people who bought product A versus people who bought product B. It's people who spent a certain amount of money. It's people who have bought at different times. Maybe someone last bought 6 months ago versus someone buying 7 days ago. There's people who are interested in certain product categories. There's people who have been in your continuity programs, people who've canceled from the continuity programs. There's people in different states, and maybe if you have a regional aspect to your business, right? There's so many different ways to slice and dice a list in terms of segmentation that you could really drill down and find little pockets of people that you could send different offers to, which will increase your overall earnings per subscriber for those segments.
So would you say that a good first step is to, the first advice that you could potentially give someone is like, segment out your list? But then I guess for me, the follow-up question is, where do I even start? Where do I even start? If I have 80,000 people, is it sending one email out to filter out what they're interested in? I've seen that tactic work a lot. And I used to work at an agency, and that was one of the tactics that we used, was like this mass email of what you're interested in, so that they can maybe self-select and segment themselves out versus falling into like firmographics or demographics. But what's your advice if you have that list and you want to be able to segment that out?
So those survey emails are great. I love using those. I even use as myself my own list, because that helps me build. You won't be able to segment everyone, but you segment the engaged people, which is super important, because they're the people who are going to be spending the most anyway. Another way that I like to start, like whenever we have a client in that situation, the beginning of the conversation always starts with like, well, what's your goal? Like, what is the KPI we're trying to hit? And sometimes they'll say, we want to make an extra 100 grand a month. I say, okay, cool. You want to make an extra 100 grand a month. Like, what do we want to sell to get there, right? Because you have products, you have offers. So we start with what those products are. And we say, okay, you want to sell this widget. Okay, well, who are the people who are likely to buy this widget? And, you know, maybe it's a one-time thing. Like, I always use the example of like an outdoor grill. Like, if you have a list of 80,000 people and maybe 10% of those people are buyers, like, you could try to sell another outdoor grill to someone. But like, how many grills does someone really need? Like, maybe we segment those people out and we create a list of people who haven't bought the grill yet, right? Maybe another product we want to sell is a grill brush. Okay, why don't we just sell that to the people who already bought a grill from us? So like, I just go very simple at first. And I say, okay, what are the products? How many of those units do we need to sell? What segments can we sell it to? And then you don't have a crystal ball. You can't tell exactly how many sales you're going to make when you send an email, right? You say, okay, if our goal over the next quarter is to sell this much product, here's the segments we can go after. If we multiply typical conversion rates for our list that we've seen with other segments, you kind of reverse engineer the math.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make more money. It may or may not happen. Maybe we could send more emails. There's things we could do, but it's always easier when you have the target, because then that helps you create segments and think strategically through. Maybe you don't need to create 50 segments. Maybe you just need four, right?
Yeah.
Four for this quarter, work those, and then say, okay, what's the next step down next quarter?
Oh, I like that advice. Sometimes I swear I start to create more work for myself than I need to. So I'm glad that you're like, hey, sometimes you can segment 40, but you may only need four. And I think that's really key for it, for people to understand that. So let's say, you know, we've got the segments. I always think the next daunting thing is the email itself, right? And there are a couple of questions in the email itself kind of thought process. There is the email sequence that you want to be able to send people out, right? How many are in there? What's that magic? Or maybe that has to do with what you previously talked about. But then there's also like the meat of the email. I see a lot of brands that spend a lot of time on the inside of the email, making sure that they've got all their like value propositions in there, which is fantastic. But I know myself as a consumer, I get a ton of emails. So for me as a marketer, I think about the subject line. So what are some tips that you can provide on like the subject line itself? Or maybe you don't think that the key is the subject line. Maybe I should start there.
Okay. So subject lines are super important, even in like a post iOS 15 world. They still are important because even if you aren't able to completely, not, you really actually couldn't ever completely accurately track open rates, but it's just a little bit worse than it was before. So it's not a huge deal. But the thing to remember is like, there's still people reading your emails, whether you could see them opening or not, right? So the subject lines are super important. My one rule for subject lines is to be radically different at all costs. And there's obviously many ways that you can interpret that, but like things that I've done with my own brand is like on Halloween, I sent a subject line with about 40 pumpkin emojis, which like no one would be crazy enough to do that, right? And like Thanksgiving, I did about 40 turkeys. So like it spanned pumpkins and turkeys across the entire screen. And like, when you think about it, like, is that a good hook? Is that good copy? Like, no, but it's just something that was so radically different than anything you might see. Everyone's like, happy Thanksgiving, happy Halloween. Here's a spooky deal, right? And like, that's what everyone does, like 30% off our spooky deal today.
But it's so cute, a spooky deal. Yeah. I guess, right?
But then people see the pumpkins, they see 40 pumpkins, they're like, what is this about? And they have to click it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like writing things. So that's like one step, is just be radically different at all costs. The other thing is just to like make your subject line sound like they're coming from a human.
Yeah.
Like I sent one the other day, like I'm moving, or like I've sent ones before that's like, oh, I might've gotten myself into trouble. Like I can't remember, you know, exactly what I said, but there's little things you can do where it's like, it sounds like it's coming from a person rather than a brand.
Yeah.
And you see like what I kind of got this idea from was like seeing brands on Twitter, big brands, like you'll have like Wendy's and the Wendy's corporate account is like talking smack to people as if like it's a person, you know, it's like, you know, they're talking smack to Burger King and Burger King's talking smack to them. It's funny because there's these big like mega international brands, but they sound like a person rather than like, hey, we're running a sale at our restaurants, you know, and that stuff gets attention. So I think the more that you can make your emails obviously sound like they're coming from a person, and that continues in the body. Like I like having emails that come from a person where you're telling a story, you have copy. Some of my favorite types of emails for brands, I call them like behind the scenes at HQ. What's happening at headquarters? Because people like, you know, there's so many documentaries now, like Chef's Table is one. Like obviously like you want to go to all these great restaurants and eat the food, but like if you're not going to fly out to France or you're not going to fly out to Argentina or wherever the restaurant is, like, and you watch the story, like that's some of the best TV I've ever watched in my life. Just like seeing how these chefs, you know, the guy from Australia who only uses fire, they don't even have electricity in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like just hearing the story for like an hour, hour and a half. I'm like, this is insane. Like I never even knew that all this stuff happened. Like that's interesting content.
Yeah.
And like when you think about it, of all the marketing mediums, like how many people follow influencers nowadays, right? Like why are they following those people? They're following them because they're telling interesting stories. So like you could almost be your own influencer with an email. You don't have to go out and try to live the influencer life necessarily, but like you could essentially just do the same thing, but within a different medium, within a personal medium of like, hey, here's what's going on. I had this one client, Sina C. She sells fish. Her family, they're fishermen out in Alaska. I mean, the best salmon you could buy, right? And she'll tell stories about like, hey, we're out in the boat the other day and like, here's what happened. And like, here's the fish we caught. And like, and it's like, wow, how would you ever buy salmon from someone else when you know Sina's story and her family's catching it and it's not from some big Globo fish farm where they're feeding the fish like garbage and it's like low quality meat. Like how do you ever buy that again when you know you could buy fish from Sina?
Yeah.
So that's what I love about email. Like you can get personal like that.
Well, there's something that you said about language, but it's talking like you are like an actual person. There is someone that is writing this email. You know, you kind of have to have that brand voice. But I also think that there's something about like speaking that same language as like the consumer that you're sending it to as well too. Like use the same language because you can definitely tell when something's buttoned up from a brand and that's easy to ignore just in general. So what is just kind of your advice for a brand who wants to speak in the, like that same language as their consumer as well too?
Yeah. So the best advice that I could give, and it's kind of like an exercise, really.
Yeah.
But I think it'll like, if you do this once, it'll forever change the way that you write emails. Like, so the backstory is I had a client before we started working together, he was manually sending out cart abandonment emails. I said, what do you mean? Like manually? Like, he's like, yeah, like I see a customer into the cart and I'll just whip up, you know, pop up Gmail and I'll whip up an email and hit send. I'm like, I was like, dude, we could automate this.
But that doesn't sound scalable. Very personal. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. But then like I thought about it, like we automated it and you know, he's made a lot of money from it. But what was interesting about that was the more and more I thought about that, you know, because I would see people write emails and, you know, brand owners that I've coached and copywriters that I've coached, and they're like, hey, you all, hello, fellow customer. You know, like they do this like as if they're all standing in a room together. Like they're not. They're reading the email by themselves at their desk or on the toilet or on their lunch break or wherever, right? So like they're like looking around like there's no one behind me. Like, what do you mean everyone, right? Because people try to, I need to write to all 100,000 people. Yeah. So, like, you're writing to one person at a time. So if you were to write a promo email or write any kind of announcement email or new product email or whatever it is, like what I want you to do is actually take a random customer from your email list. You don't have to send this email, but pop their email address into Gmail, write your subject line, and write that email as if you were writing to them, like a personal letter to them, telling them about whatever the promo is or what the sale is. And those are some of the best, highest converting emails you'll ever have. Again, you don't have to necessarily send it to that one person, but like just whatever you wrote to that one person. So like if you're writing an email to your mom, you wouldn't write like a marketer. You would just write like a normal human using words that your customers understand, conversational tone.
Yeah.
People don't do that. They think, well, I'm the CMO or I'm the head copywriter or I'm the email marketing manager. So I have to put a certain, like how you said, buttoned up, right? Like that button
up.
People respond to people. They buy from people they're familiar with, you know, like the people they have a relationship with. That's why so many businesses are, you know, they're really in the relationship business. That's why they use marketing to create that bond, to get build that know, like, and trust. And part of that is the way you talk. So I think that's a useful exercise for anyone who's struggling with that.
Oh, I love that advice. I think it also helps with writer's block as well, too, when it comes down to it. Because I write a ton of emails as well, too. And my email is like, my email signature is at the bottom of a lot of emails. And I always feel like if people only knew, I respond if you reply back to me. Like, there's a person behind here. Just try me. Sometimes it'll take a couple days because I do get a lot of replies back. But there is a person behind there. I love what you're saying. And I think that that's super great advice. I would love it if you could also provide a list of just kind of top three things that most brands miss from email marketing. What would they potentially be?
One thing is like they just have low frequency. And like I've just talked to many brand owners where I had this one guy this one time. He was a good dude, but he was, you know, I was like, how often do you email? And he's like, once a month. And I said, what you should do is go to like at least once a week. And he like gasped as if I had like had just insulted his mother or something. I was like, no, dude, like it's going to be fine. He's like, everyone will leave. Everyone will unsubscribe. I was like, bro, I've worked with every size list out there in every industry. I've never once ever in my life see someone go from like once a month to once a week or even once a week to like once a day and poof, the list is gone. Everyone unsubscribe. Like it's never going to happen. And I tried to just talk him off, he wouldn't listen to it. But the thing is like, you could probably email at least one more time a week than you think. You think the limit is, you probably can go one or two more times a week. And for some people that like scares them, like, I don't want to bother people. And I'm like, okay, well, if you write good emails, you're not going to bother them. So that's the first thing, right? Like if you're just blasting them, buy my stuff, you know, like, yeah, you're going to bother people. But like, if you have good engaging content and good copy in those emails, you're telling stories and things, taking people on a journey with you and taking them behind the scenes, like they're not going to look at that as, you know, like influencers do that every single day on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. People are, they'll do it six times a day. They'll post updates, right? Like, we never say that's annoying, but like, so going from two emails to three emails a week is annoying. Like, I just don't buy it. And I just haven't seen it with testing data. Like, if you send more emails, you're going to make more money. At the end of the day, like, it's your job to bring in money for your business. Like, if one person replies back and they're like, you're sending too many emails, like, do you think that person's a good customer? Do you think they're going to give you a lot of money? Do you think they're going to give you great testimonials and UGC? Like, no, they're complaining about your marketing messages. Like, they don't like you for whatever reason. I'm not going to buy from you anymore. So don't worry about that one moron who gives you some pushback. Because what happens is like we've had that with clients and it's like we'll send an email and then like one person will be like, you're sending too many emails. And they'll be like, oh my God, I want to stop. I'm like, you just made 10 grand from that. Like really, like was it worth one complaint for like, again, if it's 7,000 people complain, which again, I've never seen, but if that's the case, again, I've never seen it, but let's hypothetically say if that's the case, sure, maybe you're doing something wrong. But like if you have one or two or three people out of 100,000 people, like, think about a town of 100,000 people, like you're going to have a few psychopaths there, right? Like you're going to have a few crazy people. Like,
well, that's not, just statistics, right?
It's statistics at that point. Like, what are you going to let these people ruin your day? Are they going to be your new CMO? Are you going to take over your marketing and make the decisions? You know what I mean? But that's what people do. That's what people do. They do this all the time. And I just try to talk people off the ledge. I say, everything's going to be fine. You're going to make a lot more money. And the people who are going to be buying are going to love you because what happens is every time you make a sale, you solve a problem. right?
Yeah.
So by you being hesitant to send more emails, being hesitant to make more sales, and you're losing out because your business isn't growing as fast, and your customers are losing out because that's a day you could have solved the problem and you withheld that solution from them. So that's like the first thing. The other thing is just having really like two and three, just having like solid flows and automations in place. Like, do you have an abandoned cart? Do you have a browse abandonment? Do you have a welcome sequence? Do you have a post-purchase? Do you have a win back? Do you have something for your VIP customers? Do you have any kind of cross-selling? Like, if you don't have those things in place, you're leaving money on the table. It doesn't matter what you sell, you're leaving money on the table.
I love that. So two and three are kind of the same, just sequences. And lots of them.
Yes.
And then also number one, email more frequently than you think that you should. I really love that analogy because you're right. It is all statistics. I always like to say, like, great, if they unsubscribe, they weren't meant to be on the list. They're helping me with the hygiene of my list. I don't want to email them if they don't want to be part of it either. I don't want to force them. And you're right. Like, when you look at your entire list, the percentage of people that really unsubscribe is so minimal. You can't please everybody in life, in marketing, in business. So don't be afraid. Pull the trigger, send the email. I should go back because a few questions ago, I was like, I have two questions within this question. About the email sequences, is there a magic number? Is there a number that you see like, hey, this is kind of the sweet spot? Like, if you make your email sequences, I guess I'm thinking like, is there a 3 to 4 email sequence and then you put them in another like subject sequence? Does that make sense?
So yeah, it makes sense. Okay. It depends. It's a little context dependent. Like, for instance, we've had clients where they might have like one welcome email and like any emails we add are going to make more sales, right? And like, but like, yeah, usually for like a welcome sequence, we'll like anywhere from 7 to 10, sometimes 5 to 10, but usually like 7 to 10. What we've seen with a lot of different types of sequences, like if we're talking about like abandoned carts, mm-hmm, browse abandonment sequences, even like things like winbacks, VIP, stuff like that, like, we've had a lot of brands where they'll have one email in place. They'll have one of those, one abandoned cart email, and we'll add a second and a third email. And 50% of the sales will come from the combined second and third email, sometimes even over 50%.
Interesting.
So it's like, if you just have that one email, you're probably leaving 50% of the revenue on the table from that flow.
Yeah.
Again, it might take some testing. It might need some conditional splits. And like, we've even had brands where we'll add in a fourth or fifth email in some of those sequences, and they'll still make even more sales. Because again, like, there's water in the well, keep dipping the bucket down. You know what I mean? Like, don't just assume that someone's not interested. I mean, I always tell the story about cart abandonment. I was buying something for my wife a few years ago for Christmas, and we were getting some work done on our house, and they were like jackhammering tiles, and I didn't realize there were wine glasses on the shelf behind me, and I was like sitting there working at the table, and next thing I know, as I was about to check out, like mid-checkout, entering my credit card information, glass shatters. I had to take 20 minutes, clean up the glass, vacuum. It was a mess. And then by the time I got back to my computer, I like forgot what I was doing. I was like distracted with something else. It doesn't mean I didn't want the item, right? So like, if they only stopped at one email, I would have never went back and actually bought that thing. Or I mean, maybe I would have like, right? But, or maybe I would have went to a different site, or they would have lost that sale somewhere else, or I would have went to Amazon or something, right? So I always say, like, for most sequences, if you have like one email and you add a second or even a third, probably gonna make more sales for most type of behavioral type sequences. For other sequences, even like if you're doing like a sales sequence, sometimes people are like, hey, we're doing a sale. Cool. Absolutely do sales, right? They'll send a sale email. It expires in 2 days and then you won't hear about it again. It's like, hey, what happens if you send an email the morning of the last day? And what happens if you send an email to everyone who still didn't buy that PM of that last day? I mean, we had one client where they were running sales and they make anywhere from like 10, 15, maybe 20 grand up to 30 to 50 grand every time we ran a sale, just because we were just doing follow-ups on the last day.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many sales did you run and you never did that before? You know, like, how much money did you leave on the table because you just weren't sending? And people loved it because they're like, oh, thanks for reminding me. That's what they would say. Like, thanks for reminding me. I totally forgot about this. I got distracted before, you know?
That happens to me literally all the time. I have to see something multiple times before I make like that final purchase. And maybe I don't have my wallet next to me. Like, that's always a big thing. Like, I'm scrolling through my phone. I don't have my wallet next to me. And I want it, but it seems the wallet's so far away. You know what I mean? So I am going to wait for like kind of that next email. You know what I think is so interesting about everything that you've just kind of shared up until now is it's a lot simpler than I think brands are giving stock to it, right? Like, this is not some complicated, like, no, you've got, you know, some origami kind of yoga move twist to make this make email marketing work for a brand. It is very simple. It is also making that connection with your consumers as well too. And email is a great way to start that conversation.
Yeah. And that's the thing. If you just get started, what happens is your audience will give you feedback. So like if you just start telling stories and sharing what's going on, like what's going to happen is people are going to reply back to those emails and they'll have questions or they'll give their own comments. And then that will give you fodder for future emails. And then you build that bond. And it's like a flywheel effect. And then you never run out of email ideas ever again.
I love it. Do you recommend having one person in charge of email marketing?
You mean like just sending from one name or just one person at an organization, like owning
that's
that
a good. That's a good follow-up question. Both, like someone within the company. I know not you are more than just a pretty face, Chris. Is there one person within the organization that should be sending it out? But also, is there that one person in that email signature that you want to make sure is at the bottom at all times?
So it depends brand to brand. Like I could argue that I think it does help to build. If you see Jerry at whatever brand, like, and you see those emails over and over, you're going to start to like Jerry, right? But then I've seen other brands that go against the grain, like Bright Sellers is one, and they have like, you know, four or five women, and they'll just be like Maria S, and they'll be like Becky Q, and like I'll be like, who's Becky? Like, why is she? Or who's it? And like she'll almost like trick me, you know? And the next day it's like Susan, and I'm like,
it catches you. Well, they all have different wine selections. I've gotten those emails from Bright Sellers, and I love them. I'm like, oh, what did she pick out for me?
Yeah, they're and you know what? I'll say one thing about that brand. They are smart with the way they do email marketing because essentially you will never stop getting those emails. Like I was on the list for six months because I did the quiz and didn't buy the. I did it with one email account and I bought, and then I did it with another email account to see what happened. 6 month card abandonment sequence. They just kept sending every single day. I was like, this is beautiful.
That's amazing. Like,
it's so crazy. Yeah. But anyway, like you can do that. It's going to depend brand to brand. I'd say for most brands, just keep it simple, make it from one person. In terms of like organizationally, it is good to have someone just like own that. Like I'm a big EOS guy. So like who's responsible for that, right? Like who's in charge of the, you know, do you have an email marketing manager or an email copywriter or someone who's just like sitting in that seat who's like, that's their role. Because those are your best customers. When you think about the entire world, where are your best customers? They're on your email list. Like, sure, there might be future best customers out there in the great wide open of social media or, you know, on your influencers list and those kind of things. There definitely are out there, but those are future people you're going to get at some point. The people right now that you have, they're the people on your email list.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I've got a couple more questions for you. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I'm constantly pushing for brands to extend the life of their UGC, right? Their user-generated content, by leveraging it in other marketing strategies. And to me, email marketing is definitely one of them. How would you leverage user-generated content with emails for an e-commerce brand?
So we like just sharing a lot of like customer stories and kind of like using them as a demonstration almost, right? Yeah. Because what happens, we've realized with email, really with all marketing, but definitely with email, I'd say is like people on your list are on a journey, right? And you're a brand who sells products that's going to help them get one step closer to their end goal. It's almost like climbing a mountain. It's like they're trying to get to base camp one, then base camp two, then base camp three, all the way up to the summit, which is their ultimate goal. So like you're going to sell solutions via, you know, the form of products that are going to help them move to the identity they're trying to achieve or the outcomes they're trying to achieve or whatever it is. So UGC, what that does, that demonstrates like, hey, here's how this person solved the same kind of problem you're trying to solve using these products. And what that does is it kind of induces, this is going to sound bad, but a little bit of envy almost, right? But I think in a good way, because it's like you see someone, like I'll use the outdoor grill example. Like Brio is a company I really want to buy an outdoor grill from. And I've been on their list for a while, but we're getting like other work done to our house. So I haven't pulled the trigger yet. But like I see these people cooking. I'm like, that could be me. I could be grilling those steaks, you know? So it's not like, it's almost like I have envy. I was like, I want to be that dude.
It's aspirational. It's aspirational content. Yeah.
It's like, I want the steaks and the shrimp and the skewers and the this, this, and that. I was like, I'm going to build a badass fire with, you know, all this stuff. And so like when people share that, like when I see all these people grilling and the different setups, the different things that they're making, like that's UGC content, right? And I will look at that stuff all day. I mean, there's literally accounts on Instagram that are just over the fire cooking. That's all they do. They just take grills and they just show you how to make food. They show you the food they made. And like there's people follow 20 of those accounts at once, right? They'll literally follow that and they'll just scroll. So like you can be your own influencer with email and you could do these kind of things. You could show that UGC. And it's great because it's demonstrative. It shows how people are using the product, shows the benefits they're getting the product from the product and the pain points that it's, you know, moving them away from. And then the way that you generate more of that, there's a lot of different ways. Contests are a great way.
Yeah.
People love being the star of the show. You know, if they could show off, because it's awesome. Like, oh my gosh, I sent them the picture of me like cooking the other day, and they put it on their website, they put it in their emails, they'll forward those emails to all their friends and be like, yo, this brand wrote about me. This is so cool, right? And then that's word of mouth traffic. And that's free PR and buzz, essentially.
Oh my God, I love it. And also, I'm going to hook you up with my husband, who also follows all of those grilling accounts as well, too.
Good man.
He's currently looking at barbecues. If I have to listen to one more smoker conversation.
Exactly.
You are not alone.
he's a keeper. He's a keeper.
Absolutely. Good decision.
My kind of guy.
Okay. So, well, now it's prediction time. I would love to see, or not see, hear what your thoughts on what's going to happen to email marketing in the next year or two. What do you see kind of happening?
I think it's going to continue to blow up. And I think there's going to see more like, I know, like at least on the e-commerce side, like there's a lot of brands who are rolling out a lot of SMS stuff. Again, it's all in that umbrella of owned revenue. But those two things can kind of play nicely off each other in terms of even like capturing email from an SMS situation, capturing an SMS from an email situation, vice versa.
Yeah.
But I would say like the push for owned revenue is going to be so super important. And I think, I still think the whole e-commerce world is very early with understanding email. Like I come from more of the direct response, like copy heavy world. Obviously, you know, I've talked about copy a lot.
Yeah.
And those people are dialed in. They're dialed in with the email stuff. Like they'll email, most people email every day. Like they understand segmentation. They understand different tags and things. Econ people are still very early, and it's fine. It's not like a dig. It's just, it's early. It's a good time to like really start learning. It's kind of like, imagine like if you could like understand how Facebook worked back in 2015, where you're getting clicks for a nickel, right? Like that's kind of where I think personally we're at with email, because email will probably get more and more sophisticated as time goes on. It might be a little bit tougher to compete, but right now I still think it's kind of virgin forest right now. You know, like it's still, you can make a lot of money. I don't think the performance is diminishing. I think it's becoming more important. Sure, you know, the open track's a little wonky, but like we have clients who just absolutely crush it with email and sales they didn't have to pay for. So I think it's just going to become more and more important. People are going to want to own more of their revenue because of all the platforms or, you know, even Facebook. Facebook was king for how long, right? It's still good. You know, I advertise on Facebook, so I'm not like knocking it necessarily. Like you need acquisition somewhere, but it's just harder. It's just harder to do. So like, if it's harder to do, you can jump to a different platform, which has its own challenges, or you could just learn how to own more of your revenue.
It's all a balance. It's a balance. Well, thank you so much for coming on and just sharing the wealth of knowledge that you have with email marketing, from subject line to email sequence to sending more emails and everything kind of in between. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Now, Chris dropped some knowledge bombs about email today. Spoiler alert, email is not dead. In fact, after this episode, I would say it's not used enough. He shared the value of brands' owned list of customers to market to and provided tips on subject lines, content, email sequence, sweet spot, and segmentation. I also wanted to share my favorite quote-unquote miss brands make when it comes to email. Bottom line, you're not sending enough. Don't be afraid of the unsubscribe. They're helping you get your list down to the most interested and the most engaged customers. And that is where the sale is at. In addition to being such a fantastic guest, he also wanted to share out his book, Make It Rain, The Secret to Generating Massive Paydays from Your Email List. This book shows e-commerce brand owners 5 key strategies for making more sales from email, even if they're just getting started. So be sure to visit the episode page to access that link and get a copy of that great book. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grim Gets Real podcast to get the latest episode. Give us some stars. I wouldn't mind 5 of them. No pressure. And leave us a review. We want to hear what it is that you like about what you're listening to. Connect with me on social. You can find me on LinkedIn, Katya Allison. And if you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. That's grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.